You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week. You will have heard that increasing numbers of young people are showing up at church with interest in faith and the Bible. This is, of course, wonderful news. But for many older Christians, there's a great deal of uncertainty on how easily they can engage with young people. It seems as if the old and young inhabit different worlds. In one sense, it was ever thus, but young people are navigating a very different world to the one many Christians grew up in. Young people today face questions about gender and sexuality. They have to navigate the intrusions brought about by the use of the smartphone. They have concerns about global conflicts and the environment. And of course, the ever-increasing pressures to succeed in education. So as leaders, we're looking to interact with and support young people. And to help us today, I'm joined by Wayne Dixon, who's worked in schools for 40 years, much of the time with Scripture Union, and the last 13 years with Christian Connections in schools as a local mission partner of Scripture Union, working with pupils and staff in schools in Slough, Windsor and Maidenhead. As such, you've seen the changes in how young people are now navigating life and how as leaders we can best serve them as they attend our churches and engage in our charities. So great to welcome you back to the show, Wayne.
Lovely to be here.
So remind us of your work, first of all.
So my name is Wayne Dixon and I'm a schools worker with Christian Connections in Schools, which is a local mission partner of Scripture Union. And I have a colleague, Beth, we visit schools in Slough, Windsor, Maidenhead. And if you like, the number one thing is making Jesus known to children, young people and staff in the schools of Slough, Windsor, Maidenhead. That's how it is at the moment. That's how it was 40 years ago, beyond that, and hopefully going into the future.
Great. So you work at a range of schools. How similar are the schools to each other?
In some ways, similar in that I use the fact that they're children and young people. And so whether you're at a school just up the road from where we live, which is a regular, ordinary primary school, or I occasionally go to Eton College, there are children, young people and staff there. And there's a similarity. But the reality is there are differences. So I've just mentioned I occasionally visit Eton College, which is quite interesting. But I also visit a local school. It's called Eden Girls. It's a Muslim girls' school. But they're happy to have me in and come in and share about Jesus to the pupils there. So that's a bit of a contrast as to something that I see locally.
Yeah, I mean, so people who are not in Berkshire, well, they might well think, well, Slough and Windsor, these are very different places kind of thing, which is why I asked the question, of course.
Sure, sure. Yeah, for me, a school is a school. And whilst I recognise, so for example, when I was first going to Eton College, I was aware that it's going to be a different slightly feel to the lads there than other schools that I would visit. But essentially, there's still people, hopefully, to hear about what Jesus said and did and the impact that he can have. So that's my general approach. It's not so much the name of the school. It's the fact that there are people in there. And I and my colleague, Beth, have the opportunity and other schools workers to be able to share Jesus with them.
Brilliant. Now, I appreciate not all your chats are, quotes, deep and meaningful, but when you do get to know a young person, what are the kind of issues that are uppermost in their minds?
The issues are probably what they've always been, but currently the ones that I'm talking about now are issues to do with family and sadly family breakup. The pressures of exams, and that's interesting in all schools, not just so we have some grammar schools around here, but in all schools, pressures and expectations, relationships, gender, sexuality, and so the list goes on.
So when I listed those things like the environment and global crises, do they come up at all, or is that something that people assume that young people are going to be into but may not be?
For some, it will do. It becomes very evident. So I do this thing in schools. I call it HAM, which stands for hanging around ministry. So I'm doing it today in a couple of schools. Go in, sign in, go to the common room, the staff room where students are at, and just chat about whatever. Currently, one of the hot topics for me, well, it's always been a hot topic, is I love my football. I'm an Arsenal supporter. So the school that I've just come back from today, Burnham Grammar, I was chatting with some lads there and saying that Arsenal top of the league, going to win the league. And the chap I was chatting to is a Man City supporter who are likely to be challenging. So we chat a little bit about football. We'll chat about faith. I was playing some table tennis with some of the students there. And so it's just an opportunity to be with young people where they're at, which is in school, and to chat with them, whatever they want to chat. Sometimes they want to chat specifically about faith and about Jesus. Most of the time it's not, but obviously when I'm going in to do something, say like an RE lesson or an assembly, it will be specifically to talk about Jesus.
You've said that often things have not been any different in your 40 years in terms of what people talk about, which may surprise some people because, yeah, massively, I think you were volunteering in 86. That was pre-smartphone, pre-internet. Maybe mental health has got worse in that time, or maybe you would say, well, no, it's always been a bit of an issue. I don't know. So, try and compare 86 way with 2026.
That's fair. So obviously in 86, no such thing as mobile phones, and mental health issues were probably not talked about, but I would suggest that they were there. And so that's why I reckon in my answer to that question is that yes, the titles and the topics are probably different now, but the issues have always been there. And I've said over 40 years, probably the number one thing that affects our young people and children and adults is a whole issue of relationships and family and breakdown and all of the issues connected with that. Again, in a school yesterday, chatting with a member of staff, chatting a little bit about blended families. And again, in my role, I was just listening and sharing, empathizing, and I know some of that from my own personal experience.
And you mentioned you sometimes have opportunities to talk about faith. And again, there is a stereotype about the antagonism of young people towards Christianity, towards faith. And I appreciate there'll be a broad spectrum. Some will come from Christian backgrounds, some from not. Do you find a real interest? Do you find any hostility? What would be some of the highlights, or at least the headlines in your work?
Yeah, there'll be both highlights and headlines. So again, even in the last couple of days, some conversations I've had, and I've used the word, I think it might not be the right word, but sort of hostility. And so I was chatting with one person who was sharing how hostile some people who don't share faith in Jesus and how they can be a little bit negative or resistance. I am aware of that. But then on the flip side, I think of a prom that I was at recently, well, e.g., last year, and 18-year-old lad came up to me in the prom. So the music was blasting out, and he said, "Wayne, what piece of advice would you give a group of us 18-year-old lads?" Now, that doesn't usually happen when I'm in schools hanging around. And so a quick arrow prayer. And the two words that came out were these: consider Jesus, consider Jesus. And then for me, what followed was about 15, 20 minutes of conversation with a group of 18-year-olds at their school prom and a chance to share some of what they would have heard in previous years when they would have had, say, myself or someone else going in, doing assemblies and talking a little bit about Jesus. And here we were at their school prom, music's blasting out. People are busting their dance moves, and I'm able to share something of the meaning and making Jesus known to children, young people, and staff. So there are examples on the range. I used to use this word, apathy, and sometimes maybe it's not right up there that people want to talk about Jesus and faith, and there's maybe been, but I would suggest in the line of what's been going on with the quiet revival, etc., that there is a little bit more interest, and certainly some of the research and surveys that are coming out from people like the Bible Society and Scripture Union and Youth for Christ and the Evangelical Alliance suggests that there is a growing interest, particularly amongst young people and 20s, 30s, about Jesus and faith, and you're hearing stories of people turning up to church, wanting to have Bibles, wanting to find out more about Jesus. That is really encouraging, and that's not always been the case.
Would you say, if you had to guess what was happening nationally from your visits to schools, would you conclude that this was an increase in interest? Or would you say, well, it's not especially where I am, but I understand that it's statistically the case?
Yeah, so I'm not seeing it personally myself in terms of in church, but the fact that a number of different people are saying it would suggest that it is true, and people who aren't or weren't associated with church are interested and are going along. Some I'm hearing stories of children going up to parents and carers and encouraging them to go to church with them. And so the fact that it's more than anecdotal suggests that it is happening. And so that's a great encouragement, but it's also a little bit of a challenge to all of us in what we do off the back of this.
And Wayne, you've been sowing the seeds of this to some extent with your Christmas experience and your Easter experience, haven't you? You've been helping to give some foundations of understanding to some of the major church events that actually typically pass most young people by.
So for me, the most significant area I've been involved in are these two presentations. One's called Christmas Unwrapped, the other's called Easter Cracked. I've been involved in them for just over 30 years now. Not my idea. It was started by the late Reverend Jem Sewell when he was the minister at Slough Baptist Church. There was a centenary event in 1994. Off the back of that, he said, well, we won't be around here in 100 years. Is there something that could be done? And it was his idea, his dream, his vision. And so March 1995, we had our first, we called it Schools Week as an Easter presentation. So 10 schools came into the church, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, approximately 500 11-year-olds they would have been. And then we shared the Easter story with them, 90-minute presentation. Then the schools were invited to come with their top pupils of primary school at Christmas. And so for the last 31 years, every Christmas, every Easter, I've been involved in that. And so locally around here, recognizing that people will be listening to this in other places, but Slough, Windsor, Maidenhead, there are approximately 50 schools that are involved. Most of them visit one of 9, 10 local churches. So churches gear up and put on a very similar presentation. They might call it the same thing as how I've been involved in it. And then others happen in their schools. So my colleague and I, Beth, will go into a number of schools and do a version of Christmas Unwrapped and Easter Cracked. And the best comment, probably, well, certainly the recent comment was last Easter, we were in a school for the very first time doing the same presentation. And then a teacher on their feedback form put this: why have we never had this in 30 years? Because the first time they had had it, and I explained that they're not the only school that's had the presentation, and that it was the first time they were having it, they loved it, and then they were the first school. The email went out about Christmas Unwrapped. They were the first school to reply, and actually, even today, just before doing this, they've already just responded to something called It's Your Move, which is a Scripture Union book that we make available for those in year six before they move off to year seven, and they've just replied for that. So that's just an example of Christmas, Easter, It's Your Move, and other things that have connected, particularly amongst primary age pupils.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, there is a cliche, and I'm sure you've heard it, Wayne, that if you're not doing schools work, you're not doing youth work. In other words, you need to be in the schools in order to really reach. So bless you for that. But obviously, many listeners are leading churches, and they're some of them are sadly statistically not loads of young people in churches. But if they are starting to show up, some maybe have youth ministries, some have youth services or whatever. As you reflect on local churches you're aware of, as a schools worker, What are some of the things that churches might be doing well that you'd want to say, yeah, that's great? And maybe things that they're not doing, you think actually you need to be doing something, perhaps even like the experiences you've described.
I would agree in terms of most children and young people are not in our churches, but most are in schools. And so if we can have an opportunity to be involved in schools ministry to whatever that might be, and there are different forms of it, then that's to be encouraged. I'm encouraged when I see churches taking initiative. And if I was to use one word and one takeaway, it would be serve. How can we, as a local church, serve our school? Not using the language of, how can we get into schools and get children and young people in the schools to come to church? That may or may not happen, but there are things in our churches that we can do to help serve the local schools, whether that be specific things like Christmas and Easter presentations. If we have buildings, can we continue to make them used? Can we serve in things like being a governor, helping with reading, all sorts of things? Probably the one that I've used a lot is what I call TMM, tea making ministry. A number of areas around the country have done it, and this is when a church or a group of churches might collaborate, connect with a primary school or a secondary school, and in communication with an appropriate member of staff, maybe once a week or once a month or once a term, go in and serve the school, maybe by providing some lovely cakes, serving tea and coffee, no strings attached, just about ministry and service. I know that's happened in a number of areas like in Windsor and Reading and Wokingham, and it's made a massive difference. And it's a way that a church can relatively easy serve children, young people, and staff in a school, and that can then lead to other things as and when time unfolds.
And so would the next step for a leader be to write to the head teacher of a local school and say, look, we've got people in our church, we could help, we're not intending to be intrusive or proselytizing, but we're here to serve. Would that be the next step?
I would suggest not necessarily the next step. I would one step back, and I would suggest it will be good to connect first with other churches and to have an awareness, and also talk to people in the church. So, for example, if you are a church leader, and then very likely to be people in your church who are members of staff, governors, or whatever else, and they can be. Because what's not good, and sadly, there are some bad horror stories over the years, is when a church approaches a school but hasn't been aware that actually the church down the road is already involved. And that's why this needs to be this bit of collaboration and communication and partnership. And then maybe it can work a group of churches working together to serve. One specific thing I'll mention, because I've seen it work, is something called Lighthouse. Now, I've wondered what Lighthouse was. There is a website if people are interested, or contact me. And I first got involved in it. It's been going for about 30 years. There's one here in Burnham, which is part of Slough, and it is just brilliant. So it's like a church holiday club, but it's not run by one church. It's usually run by a number of people from a number of churches, plus people who don't go to church. People have said, Wayne, how does it work? I've just said it works. And I know around here there is a possibility, August 2027, that there'll be an additional Lighthouse because the children are there. And this is where churches work together in partnership to put on something. Could be in a church, could be in a community centre, could be in a school. Lighthouse is but one example of churches collaborating in partnership in helping to share Jesus. So this year, the Burnham one, they're doing Christmas in July. So we're going to be looking at the Christmas story and sharing a little about what happened, but in July to some children and young people who will be involved in serving as well as adults. And so Lighthouse is something that I reckon is just a fantastic area of ministry.
So, Wayne, as we look across the UK, there'll be areas where schools work is thriving, and other areas perhaps where very little is happening or has ever happened. If someone again is listening and thinking, actually, I've got a burden for schools, but what you've been talking about sounds great, but I'd love to have a Wayne Dixon locally who could go into places. You're just one person where you are.
Absolutely.
How can people set up ministry of that kind. I don't know if that's something you'd like to speak into.
Yeah, I definitely would. If you're listening to this and thinking it will be great, I mean, that's basically what happened. My story was 40 years ago, a girl called Heather. She was a teenager at the time. She wanted to start a Christian group at her school. It's called Upton Court Grammar. She asked me if I would come in. I went in as a volunteer, did an assembly, then I went to two other schools, and that was me starting going into schools. I then approached Scripture Union, who I am still connected with, and I would 100% recommend that. Do feel free to contact Scripture Union direct, or do feel free to contact me. And I would say the key thing is about collaboration and partnership. I know of at least one area around here who are considering doing something like that. Area Bracknell, they're looking to maybe start something in the schools there. There's already some great stuff going on, and it may be appropriate to become like connected with Scripture Union or Youth for Christ or another partnership. But do feel free to contact myself or go on the Scripture Union website, and there are people out there who can help, who can encourage, who can share some of the pitfalls to avoid, as well as helpful hints, so that hopefully there could be some more areas around the UK that could have schools ministry happening right now.
And is it typically better for someone to be involved in an interdenominational charity such as Scripture Union as opposed to a school's worker based in a local church?
Both can work as long as, so if you're an individual church, and you are involved in schools, that's great. My experience has been there are sometimes a little bit of a hesitation, usually from senior staff, if one church approaches a school, and again, there are some bad stories because of that. Sometimes it can help if there is a partnership. So it could be interdenominational. Collaboration, I think, is the key thing. But also, there are some brilliant people involved in individual churches who are serving a school or a number of schools. So both can work. Scripture Union is one example of how it can work interdenominationally. And there are other ways of doing that as well.
And my final question, Wayne, it is kind of just about early enough to still be doing New Year's resolutions for some people. So if you were to talk to the church leaders listening, what might be the some of the resolutions that they might think through in terms of supporting their young people as they're in school, as local churches and as staff who care about seeing, people get to know God, get to know Christ in the way that you've been describing.
Yeah, a number of things come to mind. The number one thing would be to pray. I use this phrase, I've used it often. Prayer is the most significant contribution that we can make to our schools. So that'll be the first thing for maybe one person or group of people to think, right, we're just going to set aside a time, a morning. There's specific things, like Education Sunday, which usually happens in September, or any time people just come together to pray for schools, pray for teachers, head teachers, pupils, children, exams, transition, all sorts of things. That would be the first thing, pray. And then to think, okay, is this worth pursuing? For me personally, it took just over 2 years from that initial invite, and even today, the assembly I did in Maidenhead, I'm sharing some of the story and journey. I didn't think that in 1986, when I did my very first assembly, that 40 years later I would still be visiting schools. But I believe that that's something that God has led and guided me into. And so it would be great that if there are some people here listening, thinking this would be worth pursuing in our area. I'm going to pray, I'm going to share it with some other people. That's, for example, what's happening, I know, in Bracknell at the moment, and then collaborate, partner, approach people like Scripture Union and others to think, how can we best facilitate this so that the end result can be an opportunity to be able to share Jesus with the people in our schools who as yet don't know Jesus. So prayer would be the number one thing, but there would be other things that I would and could encourage as and when.
Well, Wayne, you've been great in allowing us to, as it well, pick your brains, or at least enable you to distill your wisdom of 40 years serving in this way. So, thank you so much for all that you shared, and bless you for being so faithful for these 4 decades.
Thank you. And if people wanted to get in touch, do feel free. My email is wayne@ccischools.org.uk. There's a website, ccischools.org.uk. Scripture Union have got a fantastic website. Just go on the general Scripture Union website, go on to schools. And then if there are things that I or others can do to help facilitate, then we'll be more than happy to do that. I'm very grateful for the people here 40 years ago that enabled it to happen, and it's continuing to happen now. And it will be brilliant if we can see some new, fresh ministries, schools work happening in other parts of the country. That would be my heart and my prayer.
And for any youth and children's workers listening, you do a regular newsletter as well, don't you, which you send out?
Yeah, so it's called Some. There's an the reason why it's Some. So Some in brackets, youth and children, what's on? There's a story behind it, but essentially things that I hear about that's going on. It might be a website or a book or a resource or a course. Things like, like the National Youth Ministry Weekend or Limitless or Satellites or Spring Harvest. And because there's just an opportunity and it's relatively easy. I used to do post it out, but now to send out an email once a month, and it just lists things. And if people are interested, they can click on it and find out more. That's the easiest thing. And it's just things that I hear about because I've been doing that for about 30 years now, and people have appreciated it. It's called Some Youth and Children's What's On. Again, if you email me, I'll be happy to send that out to you if that would be of some help.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks again, Wayne, and God bless you.
Thank you very much.
It was super to chat with Wayne Dixon. His email again is wayne@ccischools.org.uk. You will know that schools are under great pressure, the financial pressures, the challenges that young people are facing. So maybe you have a vision, as Wayne suggested, of seeing schools work thriving within our nations. Perhaps you could get in touch with him and see what might be possible in your area. Perhaps this conversation will be a catalyst for you to get moving and to show leadership. If you've been a regular listener to the Leadership Show, then you'll know, I'm sure, that we celebrated 1,000 shows in December, and indeed 20 years of the Leadership Show, the first Sunday in January. So there are many archive shows on Premier.plus, the app or the website. And even more if you go to the podcast provider that you prefer, Apple, Podbean, Spotify, and you can download many shows. Have a little look and see the topics and speakers there, and enjoy to your heart's content. So this is Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for your company and hoping you join us again next week. Bye for now.
Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
Been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.